I'm just tired today. That's all. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm tired too.
What are you tired from? You lead the life of Riley.
Riley Martin, and he's dead. But
I wish I was lived. I wish I slept as well as the dead.
No, but I had to go stop by the Vin Gerard Lair to tape some stuff for Powerbomb TV.
Oh, how come I'm not asked to be on Powerbomb TV?
Plug, plug. You want to be on Powerbomb TV?
Don't you think I would be perfect for Powerbomb TV?
I'll put a good word in. I know the two guys that run it, so.
How is that not a long box special right there?
What?
Me and you, we should Powerbomb TV. We should ride the coattails of Powerbomb TV till we're famous.
Baby steps.
What's Powerbomb TV? Is it about TV about powerbombing?
Yes. So we're recording the show. This is Longbox Heroes After Dark 126.
Mm-hmm.
Recorded in real time, not unlike the previous episodes that are all mishmashed around. But no, Powerbomb TV is like your World Wrestling Entertainment Network, but it's for indie wrestling.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes. A lot of indie companies. There's a company called High Spots that has a bunch of things. Chikara has their own separate streaming service. CZW, I think, has their own separate streaming service. There's a company called Flow Sports that has Evolve, which, you know, they have ties to World Wrestling Entertainment, and by that I mean both Flow Slam, Flow Sports, and Evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how independent that really is when World Wrestling Entertainment is an investor in what you're doing, and World Wrestling Entertainment regularly pulls guys from your show the day of if they need them for an angle on NXT.
Well, NXT is the gateway.
Right. It is. So, Jerry, of course, and my friend Adam had this kind of cooking for a while, where it's essentially a bunch of the other promotions that can't afford their own streaming, because it is expensive to live stream a live professional wrestling event. It's expensive to produce film, etc., etc. So they got into bed with a bunch of different promotions, both here in the United States and Italy and Canada and Mexico and stuff like that. So with all these different connections that they have, they're like, hey, why don't we put on a show? So on June 11th, they're putting on a show taking the name Break the Barrier, which was the name of an independent wrestling show from 1999 that I was at back before I was involved in the world of professional wrestling, where they got like 12 different independent promotions to each put on a show, like to send a match, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of, you know, they're kind of doing the same thing in 2007 or 2017 with a lot of the partner companies that they're putting shows on their service, Powerbomb TV. And I had to go and film essentially the event center announcing, you know, what promotions, what the match is announced, and so forth.
What name were you using this time?
Joe Sposto. It's Joe Sposto for the rest of my life.
Just checking. You never know.
Yeah, no new fake names.
I don't know.
I've lived so many lies for so long.
I don't know. I could see you down the line as, like, Senor Machismo or something like that.
No. I am neither Machismo or Senior. I'm just me.
I don't know. You're getting to be a senior.
It's getting close, but, you know, let's kayfabe that, huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. You know, they're doing the live show in Old Forge, and I get to call the show with my friend Bryce from Chikara, who, you know, obviously due to my exodus from Chikara, I don't get to see as often, but I do talk to every now and then, so it'll be good to see him and call matches with him and get to see some of the other folks that may or may not be Chikara regulars popping up on the show.
Ooh. In Old Forge in June?
Yes, June 11th.
Maybe I'll go to that one, too. Because mm-hmm. You know me and independent wrestling.
I do.
Can't get enough.
And I think the show is early enough that by the time the show is over, we'll have time to go get actual Old Forge pizza.
Oh, my goodness. If not, you can text me in between matches, and I'll go get it.
Oh, okay.
And we'll bring it back, and we'll eat it in the ring. That should be
fantastic. Well, I don't think I can eat while I'm doing commentary.
No, but I'd have it... I'd bring it back for after the show. We could eat it in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I just like... to me, it's just funny, the thought of me, you, and a couple other people eating pizza in a wrestling ring. Now, that would be the match of the century. Just destroying pizzas.
I guess.
I don't know. My brain is somewhere else, so...
All right. Well, listen, you know, obviously with your brain being somewhere else, I this weekend, got a chance to enjoy the fact that there were no TV shows that we had to watch.
Right.
I ended up watching 3.5 episodes of the new Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, did you? How was it?
I enjoy it very much.
I have not. I didn't watch a lot of the old, as we talked about. I had trouble finding it back in the day, but I'm hearing good things.
Yes. The second episode in particular is really funny. It's this terrible Bigfoot movie called Cry Wilderness.
Oh, my goodness.
That they really have a lot of fun with.
What was the one back in the day? Hands of...
Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Manos, the Hands of Fate. This sure is Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Manos, the Hands of Fate? Yes, yes, thank you very much. I don't mind if I do.
Had nothing to work with that movie.
And the Haunting Torgo love theme?
Yeah. Makes me think of wasn't Torgo powder the thing they used in Futurama?
I don't remember. There's a very good chance they could have used Torgo powder.
Which I think was what they used to preserve heads later on. I just watched that the other day. I was bored, and it was on Netflix, I think. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch, because everybody talks about that was one I never saw, Manos Hands of Fate. And I was like, I'll give it a try.
It claims here that it's Torgo's executive powder.
That's what it was, yes.
What?
So you're planning on watching some more when you get a chance?
When I get a chance, but obviously this episode of After Dark is when we're making the announcement of what the next Doctor Who stuff and wrestling stuff that we have to watch is. So,
Gallifreyburg's Roman numeral number 4?
Correct.
Oh, boy.
It's almost like it's a thing now. We started 2 new things in 2017.
What was the first one?
Todd and Joe have issues.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant on the After Dark. I thought you meant on the After Dark.
No.
Because technically we started 3 things then. We were the tally on the pool post, too.
Okay.
See how you're throwing me off?
All right.
You're throwing me curveballs, son.
Mm-hmm.
I just want them fast down the middle so I can meatball them out in the center field.
I'm not Sporty McGee, so I don't know nothing about your curveballs.
Nah.
But no, I recommend it if you get a chance. The host segments are a little bit shorter for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're like 90 seconds to 2 minutes. Well, I remember sometimes on the old show that the host segments could linger a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And how you mentioned that Manos the Hands of Fate gave them nothing to work with.
Right.
There's episodes, and I think the name of the movie they watched was The Magic Sword, which was like a generic early 60s kind of like low-budget sword and sorcery sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
where all of the host segments were about waffles. Where they're just like, yeah, we couldn't think of anything to tie into the movie because it was just that. It's not that it was bad, it was just like that, meh, like there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like, yeah, we're just going to, like, everything was about waffles. And it was really funny.
So was it almost that the waffle segments were funnier than what they did with the movie?
Oh, no, they did it. And see, that's the thing. There's so many episodes where they, the creators themselves, are like, yeah, this movie stunk. We couldn't do anything with it. And it's, like, one of my favorite ones.
Well, maybe it's just the fact that they work extra hard.
Right. Well, that's the thing. They do. You know, I really like my Mystery Science Theater 3000. you know, Riff Trax is good, but I don't know, there's something, you know, the magic isn't there, you know? It's still really right. good, though. I still enjoy Riff Trax, but I had the, and I still do somewhere, the Mystery Science Theater Amazing Colossal Episode Guide.
Right.
And they talk about the procedure of how they do the, you know, how they do the movies, and it takes them a week to do everything. Like, one episode takes a week to film, and during the course of that week, they end up watching the movie something like 10 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So it's like the first time, it's like they just watch the movie. One time, straight through. Everybody takes notes. They go have a writer's meeting. Everybody kind of compares notes, see, like, if there's similar thoughts. Then everyone's like, okay, everyone, like, kind of is having this similar thought. Let's explore this. So they take those notes, and then they go watch the movie again. And then they kind of, like, fine-tune that a little bit. So that's day one. Day two, after the fine-tuning of those notes, then they kind of do, like, a dry run of riffing with the notes to see kind of what works in the context, getting the timing and everything else of that. And while they're doing this, they're writing down time codes of the movie to correspond with lines of dialogue and possible jokes.
Oh, boy.
Then they watch the movie on the second day for a fourth time now, trying to, like, fine-tune that, get it, so they're just not talking all over each other, so that they get a good flow that goes with the movie, that they're not talking over lines of dialogue that are going to pay off into jokes later, and where they could, you know, blah, 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 blah. So day three is now when they start doing the, like, the host segments, try to figure out those, writing those, and then they watch the movie one more time. Fourth and fifth day is them building the props and sets and everything that they would need to do for the host segments, and another run through on the movie. Then by the time day six rolls around, it's like that's their first recording day of sitting down, filming them with the movie, with their time codes to make sure everything lines up right.
You know what?
Then the seventh day is them working out all the kinks of the host segments, the props, and everything like that.
Sounds a lot the way I do Gallifrey Birds.
Right, right. It's like how you do the podcast. It's how you... It takes a week to prepare for one of these.
It does. It does. We do time codes and discuss.
I have
so we
do
don't
time codes to edit shit out.
That's right. So we don't talk all over each other.
Ugh. There was a time when Brian and others would go in and take out all the pauses and the ums from the podcast. Sometimes when I have to edit and I see like big giant like stretches of nothing, I'll trim it up, but I ain't going through and listening to this whole podcast again before I put it out live.
We're gonna, you know, branch out and get our own candies. We'll call them like and ums.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, definitely check out Mystery Science Theater on the Netflix.
Should I check out the original ones first?
I could see which ones are available on there and tell you there's certain ones that I know are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull that up. And listeners at home, leave in the comment section for Todd what some of your favorite, episodes of Mystery Science Theater are. And I go to Netflix and it shows me the ad for some new Adam Sandler Netflix original film.
Is it the cowboy one?
No, that's like two ago. This one is Sandy Wexler.
Sounds amazing.
It's the one where he plays like an agent or something.
And like a, what kind of, like a movie agent? Or
yeah.
Like a secret agent? Or
like a movie agent.
Hmm. We should watch that, because I think Adam Sandler has only aged like a fine wine when it comes to comedy.
So, of the old ones, they don't have a ton of them on Netflix. They have about 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number one, right on the list. I don't know if these were, like, voted by the fans or something, but, okay. Number one, Manos Hands of Fate. Watch that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have a movie on here called Future War, which is fantastic. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another one called Horrors of Spider Island. Also a good one. Also highly recommended. Laser Blast. And I see we're getting, like, Laser Blast is real good. Pod People is real good. Puma Man is real good. Oh, okay.
Did you say Podvacy People?
No, just Pod People.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If you only have time in your life to watch a few.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at the list they have here. Manos the Hands of Fate, top of the list. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, number two. And then there's another one on here called Werewolf that is just, like, from start to finish, hilarious. Bad accents, bad acting, bad special effects. The host segments are fantastic. Now, there's another one on here that gets a soft recommendation. It's not a great one. It's called right. Zombie Nightmare. But it stars a young Tia Carrera and Adam West.
Wait a minute. How do you get a young Tia Carrera with a young Adam West?
No, I didn't say young Adam West. I just said Adam West.
I thought you meant a young both. Like,
no,
you
young Tia Carrera and Adam West.
Like, how young? Like,
this is maybe the first movie she was ever in.
Like 18, at least?
I would say.
Okay, just checking. Just checking. I need to know how creepy I'm going to be when I watch the movie.
It was released in 1987, filmed in 86.
How old is it?
She was allegedly born in 1967, so she would have been 20. Like
perfect.
1920.
Perfect. I completely understand now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did bury the lead and say that the guy who plays the zombie is John Michael Thor, who was a low-end rock and roll guy who led the band Thorchestra.
Thorchestra?
Right.
I love that name.
Of course you do.
That is the greatest name for a rock band I've ever heard.
Mm-mm.
I don't think you can top that.
No.
The Thorchestra.
Yes. So enough Mystery Science Theater recommendations. Let's get into what we're going to be watching for Gallifrey Birds Roman numeral 4 next week.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going first or are you going first?
I don't know. We forgot about that. We usually listen back in the day, but
right.
we'll have to mark it down and figure it out and keep a tally, and you could put it in your spreadsheets with triplicates.
This one I'm not tracking as diligently as I could or should be.
Oh, what? But it's so up your alley.
Yes, I know.
It's your favorite thing we've ever done on this show.
It's more, I spend more time organizing and keeping track of the list of Todd and Joe have issues stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that I'm, you know, not doubling up. Adding things, moving things when we talk about them, keeping track of that list, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm glad? One of us is doing that.
Right. There you go.
I don't know if you know, you're not allowed to heap too many responsibilities upon me.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. So who wants to go first?
Then? I will go first, Todd. So the event that Todd will be watching is an event that just had its 23rd anniversary just this past week. There was also one of the podcasts that I listened to that talks about old WCW stuff. Mm-hmm. This is one of the poll options for them to be talking about on the show this week, but it's not going to win, sadly. I wish it was, just so it would give me more of an excuse to watch this show. But it would be the World Championship Wrestling event Spring Stampede 1994.
Spring Stampede 1994?
Yes.
That sounds lovely. Have all my shows been WCW shows?
No. You had...
Oh, the...
You had... And now see, this is the thing. So you had the one WWE show, and then three... Mm. This will be the third WCW show.
Mm-hmm.
this will, like, not to spoil anything, but this will be the last WCW show that you watch.
I feel like you've given me the WCW trilogy.
Right. There's other good stuff there, but as I was looking, like, these are shows that kind of, they miss the criteria.
Right.
Some of your favorites will be on the show. Some people that you haven't seen in some time, but it's a lot of familiar faces for you, Todd.
I just hope Scotty Flamingo's on there.
Sadly, no Scotty Flamingo. He's one of the few that is missing, but I will tell you this, Johnny B. Badd is on the show.
Oh my goodness. Sold. Sold.
Just looking at the list, Johnny B. Badd, DDP, Cactus Jack makes a return, Steve Austin, Kabuki Sting, as you like to call him. Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, all of these people are on this show.
Sounds like a delightful show.
Yes. And again, I haven't gotten a chance to watch it in a while. I don't know how promo heavy it is, but I know it's an action-packed show. It's one of my favorite WCW shows. It's actually, and this is one of those getting into my life of being a professional wrestling fan, this was one of the last WCW shows that I watched, because this is one of the last shows before Hulk Hogan came into WCW.
Right.
And it was a, oh boy, almost year drought before, or no, it was almost 2 year drought before I watched WCW again.
Is that when it was beating WWF?
Well, so in July of that year, Hogan comes in, and in his first match, he beats Flair, and I was just like, I'm done, I'm out. So it wasn't until about a year later where they launched Nitro. And Nitro, you know, struggles a little bit, but then it starts to overtake WWF. And then it wasn't for about another year. Well, no, Nitro started in September of 95, and then it was May of 96 where they started the NWO angle. And that was when really they started kicking WWF's ass.
Right.
And that was when I start watching it again because, you know, I got a call from a friend that Razor Ramon just showed up on WCW TV.
But was it Razor Ramon?
Well, it was Scott Hall.
But he couldn't say Razor Ramon, right?
No, but he could wear a Canadian tuxedo, have the toothpick, and speak with his Cuban accent.
I never knew Scott Hall was Cuban.
No, he's not.
Oh. Wait a minute. So you're telling me sometimes wrestlers play ethnicities and accents that aren't really theirs?
Some better than others, yes.
Oh, like Santino's is real, right?
Santino really is Italian, but not as over the top as he, you know,
played it when he met the Three Stooges.
Right.
One of the greatest promos ever, by the way. Or commercials. I don't know. Would that be a commercial?
I think it was a commercial.
I don't know. I don't think it was a commercial because I think the Three Stooges lifted up WWE instead of WWE lifting up the Three Stooges.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. But would you like to know what you're watching? Because I know you'll know immediately once I tell you the name of it.
Go ahead.
It is the fourth Doctor episode, The Talons of Weng Chiang. I'm going to read a little description of it.
Go ahead.
In 19th century London and written by the series script editor at the time, Robert Holmes, one of my favorite writers to write on Doctor Who. The Talon of Weng Chiang was also the final serial to be produced by Philip Hinecliffe. I'm always not sure if I say his name right, who had worked on the series for 3 seasons. One of the most popular serials from the series' original run on television, The Talons of Weng Chiang has continued to receive acclaim from reviewers and has been repeatedly voted as one of the best stories by fans. Despite this, criticism has been directed toward the serial's representation of Chinese characters and an unconvincing giant rat featured in the story.
Oh, boy.
So,
also unconvincing, huh?
Can you believe that? A Doctor Who effect? Unconvincing? The wig work on the rat. you have to see.
Okay.
But no, this is one of my favorite all-time Fourth Doctor stories. Even though maybe, like they says, it doesn't live up to like certain, like it probably wouldn't get made today is what I'm saying. But I love it and I can't wait to see what you have to say. And there's something, another thing in it that I want to see if you notice, because I always like what you notice. And, but my favorite Doctor in one of my favorite serials. Not breakfast cereal.
I was going to say, it's about cereal this episode?
Yes.
All right. So I look forward to it. Again, I have not hated all of this stuff that you have made me watch.
And I'll be honest on this one. I've given up trying to figure out what you're going to like. And I'm going with what I think you can get the most material out of this.
Gotcha. Point.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, I don't know. Like, you're like, oh, I haven't hated everything that I saw. But I'm like, I think this one could be – this is probably the most entertaining one for the listeners, if you know what I mean. And I know yours at no point – at any – you could give me any pay-per-view, and I'll make it gold. That's the way I look at it.
Right. So you're a professional.
I am. I like to think I'm the Bobby Heenan – of podcasting, but I'm more like the Jesse Ventura.
That you just say whatever the shit you want and hope for the best?
That's my prepare time is a scant shorter than none.
And I don't think, I'll say this. I don't think Jesse is doing the commentary on this one, but I'm almost certain that Bobby Heenan is.
Oh, well, there you go. Bobby Heenan at WCW?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. He was a turncoat, huh? What a weasel.
This was the beginning of tons and tons of people leaving WWF for WCW.
I can't wait to find out if WCW succeeds.
Only one way to find out, Todd, and that's just keep hanging in here with Gallifrey birds.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. So is there anything else we need to cover?
I don't think so. I think that's everything.
All right. So, everyone, thank you very much for listening to episode 126 of Long Box Heroes After Dark. We'll be here next week with our in-depth discussions of Doctor Who. What was the name of it?
Talons of Wing Chiang.
Oh, boy. Talons of Wing Chiang. You said the portrayal of Asian Americans was spot on, so I'm very excited for that.
Don't forget, they're Asian Englanders?
Right.
Because they're not Americans. It's filmed in England.
Well, so I'll just pretend everything's filmed audience. In America.
What?
I'll just pretend everything's filmed in America, where most things these days are filmed in Canada.
That's true. Vancouver. The new Hollywood.
So, the claws of Wing Chiang?
The talons.
The talons of Wing Chiang and WCW Spring Stampede 1994.
Yep.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you all here next week.